Coming to you live from the studios of AM 1400, KKZZ, Ventura County's Inspiration Station, this is the Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and more, bringing you value in every way, every day. Join Kim and her friends as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, featuring everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. You can join us and share your journey by giving us a phone call at 805-639-0008. And now, here's your host, Kim Pagano.
Let's get it started. Let's get it started in here. Let's get it started. Let's get it started in here. Let's get it started. Let's get it started in here. Let's get it started. Let's get it started in here.
Welcome, everyone. You have tuned in to the Kim Pagano Show. I am so glad you are starting your day with us here. I have Marcia. Marcia, you look nice and cozy. It's kind of a little chilly out, isn't it?
I know. I was glad to have a little bit, to be able to put a little more
clothes on
in the winter time when it's been so gorgeous, although it is a gorgeous day.
I know. In fact, it's funny. We went down to Palm Springs, just a little turnaround trip, but it was actually a little chilly down there because you think it's the perfect time right now. Why wear a lot? So luckily, I brought a little throw so that I could have something. But it woke up this morning, and it was a little cold out there.
And I guess there's supposed to be rain in a week or so. I'll believe it when I see it.
I know. I'm telling you. So anyways, well, I welcome you all to the Kim Pagano Show, adding value every day in every way. We've got Matt on our board. Our phone number here is 805-639-0008. And remember, it is Trivia Tuesday, Tuesday Trivia. So we've got Rob calling in from Coffee News, and he's got some actually ice skating tickets, which is really cool.
Oh, that's fun.
There's 1 week left, and so we're going to give away another set of tickets to that. So that will be at actually about 8:30, so everybody can plan for that. But we've actually got some really great interviews, and you can kind of tell where my mind is at when I bring all my interviews in. So I want anybody out there, if I'm not bringing something in that you're interested in, let me know. Send me an email at kim@kimpaganoshow.com. which you can also go on my website, kimpaganoshow.com, and also like us on Facebook at kimpaganoshow. So with that, there's a lot of ways. Also, I am also on TuneIn Radio, if that's how I was listening yesterday to our show. And for any reason you miss any part of my show, it's on at 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock. So, you know, if you're...
And TuneIn Radio, you can pick it up anytime you want, which is great.
It is great. And also you can tape it, record it, and then listen to it later. So, you know, if you're out there walking and going, okay, because I met a couple people yesterday, and they're like, how do I listen?
And that's an app, by the way.
And it's free. So yeah. It's perfect. It's a great app. So also, I have a column in Ventura Breeze. So definitely pick up one of your Ventura Breeze newspapers. They're so great, and it tells everything that's going on around everywhere. So also Coffee News. So with that, you know, we've got our first guest is going to actually be Paul Hamanis. I hope I said that right. And it's Organize Your Mind. And so, you know, a lot of times we're trying to get organized, but I guess really you got to start with your mind in order to be organized. So I'm really excited because I'm telling you, I play a little ping pong ball in there. You know, sometimes I'm going, okay, I should do this, but I need to do that. And I should be doing this, but I could do that. So
I tell you, I don't know. I think we need to start in the inside out, but sometimes getting in the inside is the
hard part.
Well, maybe
Paul will be able to help us. And in fact, that takes us into our next interview, which is...
Okay, we're interviewing author Michael Adis, and he's a doctor, a psychologist, and he wrote Invisible Men, Men's Inner Lives and Consciousness of Silence, and it's basically about how men keep everything inside and how to get them talking.
Matt, is that true? We're going to be having you talk here. Do you keep everything inside?
A little other things slide. I'm like, you know, I'm not going to let it affect me. It's okay. But it's funny you say that because my girlfriend tells me that all the time. She's like, just communicate with me. I'm like, it's cool. I'm like, you know... If you do something and
are you one of those...
it bothers me, I'm like, it's cool. It's just, you know, I'll let
this
it slide.
Is definitely my husband, I got to say.
I know, and mine too a little bit because although I sometimes when he does let out, I'm like, oh, my God, did you eat hot peppers? You know,
yeah.
Because You know, and then I guess that's what I would rather, that instead of keeping it in, because you never know what they're thinking.
Yeah, my husband gets ultra rational. Yeah. So I know when something is bothering him when he is really rational. I know that sounds funny, but he never yells. So yeah. It's kind of like that, you know, he gets completely inside himself. It's like, all right, I need to know where you are.
Yeah, Matt, are you one of those don't rock the boat?
Yeah. See, the way you explain that right now, it's like, I swear I was talking to my girlfriend right now.
You know, it's funny because when we first started dating, because I came from a very tell it like it is family.
Me
you know,
too, black and
just,
white.
You know, they just let it all out. And I would get upset about something and I'd slightly raise my voice. I mean, not yell, because I can yell, but slightly raise
really?
My voice. And
no.
He'd say, don't yell at me. And I'd be like, this is not yelling.
Yeah.
I mean, really. And he's like, you know, I don't work that way. Because I can't.
Well, he did at least communicate
yeah.
that.
Yeah, no,
so
he
that was
did.
Good.
He's a good communicator, but when he's upset, when it's something inside of him.
He can't let it out.
He, you know, he has to organize it all before he gets it out because he, you know, and trying to live with that is like figuring out a puzzle.
Yeah, well, every day you kind of figure out a puzzle. You know, it's funny. I have to share this because I'm sure a lot of moms will appreciate this. You'll appreciate this, I know for sure. But my daughter sent me this cute little picture, and she's like, Mom, look at how cute this is. Good moms have sticky floors, messy kitchens, laundry piles, and dirty ovens, and happy kids. And so what I did was I put good kids have clean rooms, clean bathrooms, and wash their dishes and have happy moms.
That's great.
Wasn't that perfect?
Yes.
So she's like, ha ha, Mom. You know? But I thought, you know, hold on a minute. Wait, you know, it's a partnership. And if we can start to get our children being partners, you know, and everybody does their little bit of a share, then it's easy.
I think my mantra has been, does nobody know how to use the dishwasher? I say that like twice a day.
Yeah. Is that crazy? So I know I'm really excited. We actually have our first guest on right now. And Paul, is it Hamanis? Is that right, Paul? Paul?
Hamanis. Okay, well, he is a doctor and we're going to organize his mind if we can hear him. Or he's going to organize our mind.
Yeah. Oh, we lost him for a second there. Okay, anyways.
Well, hopefully we'll get him back because I could use this.
Yeah, well, we all can use this.
You know, I have so many things in my head at once. And, you know, it's then once you have like 13 projects going on at once, it's hard to figure out what to do first.
Right. You know, I just want to remind anybody that's just tuning in right now, you are listening to The Kim Pagano Show. Our phone number here is 805-639-0008. If you have any questions or you want to be a part of what we're talking about, just give us a call. So we actually have our first guest on, Paul, and is it Hamanis?
That's correct, Hamanis, yep.
Perfect, perfect. Well, welcome. We need you to help us organize our minds.
Yeah.
So, and that's your book.
Yes, it is. Yes, it's my book, and I'm here with Coach Meg Markermore as well.
Oh, welcome. Oh, okay.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are both of you?
Good, thanks.
All
so,
right.
So, Coach, what are you coach of?
Well, I train coaches. I have a coaching school, and I work with executives around their wellness and their leadership and their performance, and which is, in the end, a process of helping people organize their minds, which is the topic of our book.
Absolutely. And my eye went straight to the cognitive benefits of physical activity. And I got to say, I couldn't work out because I had like a sinus infection for a month because because I do yoga, and every time I bent over, I'd cough. And I was nuts. And when I finally got back to working out, my mind cleared out.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, we've got a lot of tips in this book for better organizing your mind. But, you know, when you treat your body well, you know, when you have a healthy heart and strong and flexible muscles, it in fact means that your brain works better, too. It's sort of a two for one.
Yeah, and I have heard that people that work out ward off Alzheimer's a little longer if you're prone to that.
That's good.
Yeah,
all right.
That's
so,
right, yes.
Okay, so can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure, absolutely. I'll start. So this is Paul Hamanis. I'm a psychiatrist. I work with adults and children as well. I do clinical research in attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, and then have a regular practice where I see kids and adolescents and families and adults. And so I'm writing this book from a science perspective about the areas of the brain that are so important to help us be organized, areas of the brain that help with attention and memory and managing impulses and distractions and all of that. So I sort of lay out the science behind the brain and its organizational structure from my scientific viewpoint and clinical viewpoint, and then Coach Meg talks about the big, you know, now what? I think science is getting better at telling us more and teaching us more about the brain, but that's, of course, you know, just the first step, and the next step is key about what do you do about this. So we lay out these what we call rules of order in the book, which talk about these areas of the brain, and for each rule we talk about very practical solutions to work on improving these areas.
Okay, so I got to ask, is there more attention deficit now than there used to be? I'm 50 years old, and when I was a kid, we had, you know, a couple quote-unquote hyperactive kids in school. But now it seems like 60% of the kids are diagnosed.
And parents,
are diagnosed with this. Now, how do you know when it's a problem and you need medication versus you just have attention problems?
Sure. Well, that's, you know, that's a very good point. You look at these areas about the skills that you need to be organized, which is, you know, paying attention, not getting distracted, not losing things, not forgetting things. And these are symptoms of ADHD, but these also are symptoms that that everyone experiences at any time. ADHD is really just saying that there's a spectrum of people out there, and there is probably, you know, 5%, maybe 10% of the population who suffer more greatly with these symptoms than other people do. So it's really just defining that group of people in the population, just as you would with a whole range of other areas around, you know, weight or blood sugar control or what have you. Rates of ADHD really aren't changing that dramatically, and there are also international rates of ADHD that are very similar to American rates, so it's not just an American condition. And I think I'd finally say that we're understanding more and more that kids with ADHD can grow up, of course, and become adults with ADHD, and for a fair amount of people, they still suffer with these issues as they get older. So that absolutely is part of my clinical background, but the book really is about working on these organizational skills regardless. It's not a book about ADHD. It's really for everybody.
So, you know, I do have one son that is being treated for ADD, okay, and when his brain's, like, he's tuned in, he's good. But he can only be tuned in for so long. I mean, really, and it's at first I was like, could you sit down and do this, you know? But it's a fact. Your brain doesn't work like that. And so you're saying that you work with a lot of ADD, probably kids and adults, right, or ADHD?
Yes, correct, yep.
Do you find, I mean, at first I thought, you know, seriously, sit down, like, you know, you're not concentrating, but they really can't. It's like one of their teachers told me, it's like having a library with no dividers.
Yeah, I think there's lots of great metaphors for it, and it really is not something that's fully in their control. And so you don't want to understand that, and you wouldn't tell a kid with asthma, don't wheeze.
Right, yeah.
Just as much as you tell a kid with ADHD, you know, don't get distracted. But medicine certainly play a role, but we're understanding more and more that this complex area of organization is a huge area for kids that have ADHD, as well as for everybody, that we really need to work on, beginning it in childhood and adolescence, so we can help develop skills so they can function much better as adults.
And I think organization, anybody can use something on organization. And I'm a creative person, so I'm very artistic. And people that are artistic, they go in and out of being able to organize themselves. I'm an organized person, but at the same time, you know,
you get overwhelmed, and then all of a sudden it's like your mountain's too big, so you got to start all over.
Yeah, I need a plan, or I just get my head. No, what happens is that my head keeps working, and I'm making things and doing things in my mind, creating things, and I never get the basic parts done.
Yeah.
So I'm sure I have.
You're not finishing jobs.
No, I finish jobs, but I start too many at once.
There you go. So you have them all over the place. You know, I just want to let anybody know that if you're just tuning in right now, you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show. I'm Kim. I'm here with Marcia. We got Matt on our board. Our phone number here is 805-639-0008, and we are talking to the authors of Organize Your Mind, Organize Your Life, Train Your Brain to Get More Done in Less Time, Paul Hamernis and Margaret Moore. Now, here's a question. Where do we start?
Well, for many of us, the starting point is it may be to tame our frenzy. So a negative emotional frenzy is like kind of static, and it gets in the way of our ability to focus. And so that might mean having some rituals or first thing in the day that take you to a calm, positive place, so that when you launch your day, you're already ready to focus well. And then the next thing that people struggle with is on distractions. And so you may have to put some things in place, some rules in place, so that you really just focus on one thing at a time for a certain amount of time. And then give yourself a break, the break to be creative, the break to be spontaneous. Because when you need that, if that's part of your makeup, what makes you thrive, then you want to make sure you alternate your focus periods with periods where you can just let your mind go and have fun. And probably one of the biggest lessons we have for everybody is that multitasking doesn't work, because the brain is only designed to focus on one thing at a time. And so when you sort of splatter your focus across a whole bunch of things all together, nothing gets well done, because your brain is immensely creative and productive when you use all of it on anything. But when you spread it across things, you know, you're worrying about the 23 things you're not doing, you're thinking it maybe you should have done something else in the last task. If you don't really concentrate and focus all of your attention on one thing, then you just end the day feeling kind of unproductive. But when you do have a series of good focus periods punctuated by a series of breaks and spontaneous periods, you get to the end of the day feeling very energized.
I totally agree. You know what's my downfall, and I'm sure I'm not alone out there, is Texas. You know, when
texting?
Yeah, texting. Because somebody, I'll be doing something and then I'll get a text. Then I'm like, oh God, okay, I got to answer them. But then I have to get back in tune to where I was at. So I think it's really hard, but then it's rude if you don't. So, you know, or how often do you check your emails? That's another thing. So it's the 24-hour, you know, 24/7 of the texting and the
emails. Well, I see that
emails.
With my kids. I have two 18-year-olds and a 17-year-old or 16-year-old. And they text while they're doing work, while they're listening to music. They never really
Mine
focus
too.
On one thing.
What's your thought
on
that?
Is that a problem?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, and I think that we're not masters of our technology anymore. You know,
no,
it's running us. And like you say, you know, you get a text and you feel like you have to respond. You know, the most dramatic example of that is the recent report out of the National Highway Board or whatever the organization was, looking at that tragic accident where the, I think, 19-year-old was texting up to the moment of causing a huge collision where multiple people died, and recommendations that that perhaps there should be no phone use in cars beyond just a pure emergency. And so you can sort of take that and bring that into the moment and say, okay, I'm in the middle of doing something. You know, is this texting, is this text from someone else, you know, really part of what I'm trying to accomplish?
Well, and the impatience people have when they text you, I'm just astounded when, like, as I'm on the radio, I have this meeting that these other people are taking place. This is right this morning. And I said, I'm on the radio. And she keeps texting me wanting answers. I'm like, I am not going to answer her while I'm on the radio trying to focus on a conversation I'm having with other people. So it's really hard.
It is hard. So I'm sure you probably get a lot of that, right? People, I mean, we can't be the only ones that say that.
Right, right. Yes. Well, sometimes you have to train your friends too.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. When you have kids, yeah, that this is how they live. I just wonder how. They have no boundaries. Is this
well,
my problem?
Well, I think that's the biggest thing. Is, you know, and here's another thing that I'm working on for this year is a lot of times I'll get 30 phone calls, And how do you get back to them when you're going, okay, I'm going to go into my next meeting? So you have to start to slot out time for each thing. And I think that's the biggest, my lesson for me. Is there a plan that you can offer my listeners of what you think we should be doing?
Well, you know what? You're not going to get to 8 hours of great focus time every day. I mean, you've got the discipline of having a radio show when you really do have to focus, and that can make a difference. I think you want to plan on your focus periods and then plan on the periods where you're taking care of other things and really make room for both of those, and the appropriate room, and make it intentional. Don't get hijacked by the text. I think it's very important to, you talked about parenting. It's important to model these things too. You know, if you say to your kids, when I'm in my focus time, I don't text. And so that if you don't hear from me, that's what's happening. Because it's very important for me to get some big things done every day, because I won't have the energy to hang out with you in the evening. So here's how I do it. I will text, you know, when I'm finished. And so you really want to model this. And I would do it in a way that where you're not telling your kids to do what you're doing. Just let them observe you, and notice that, oh, that's a different way of doing it. You know, when I want to focus, I focus. And then my friends aren't going to die. They're going to still be there in an hour.
Yeah, nothing's going to change. Exactly.
So I'm looking at your book, and I see in the back of your book you have the top 10 disorganizational complaints and our solutions. And, I would say at least half of these are – more than half of these are myself or people in my family.
So let's read those, or can you discuss those for us?
Yeah, sure. So there are, one is the absent-mindedness, you know, like the sort of being only kind of half awake. And that means that we are not in, you know, we've kind of lost control over our minds. You know, when we're driving, we're not driving. When we're in the shower, we're elsewhere. And so the important thing here is to begin to become more aware, you know, like be able to catch yourself, to stop yourself, to notice when you're not present. And that's a skill of managing your own mind, you know, not letting it manage you. You know, you have the ability to control this beautiful mind, this and make it organized. And so so you want to, you know, wake it up and bring it back into the picture, that sort of ability to drive your own attention. Distractions are probably at their peak in our the time we live in, because of all of the digital things we've been talking about. And we really we don't want to wait. You know, we
right.
want instant information. And again, we're being hijacked, you know, because something comes in and we say we can't wait. But we actually, if you stop and say, okay, is this important? If you get your thinking brain back on track, you know, here's a distraction. What's the best thing to do right now? Well, you know, I am just in the best phase of this project. I'm on the verge of some new ideas. Then that's what I need to do. And so, again, getting back in control of your mind, getting into the driver's seat so that when a distraction comes along, you don't lose control, because both of these things are about staying in control of your beautiful mind.
One of my favorites here is overwhelmed by clutter. And one of the things you say is decluttering your life requires a long-term plan. Tell us about that, because I think a lot of us live with that.
Great point.
Yes. Well, any major change in any life domain, you know, I hope we're at a stage in society where we've kind of woken up to the fact that there's really no quick fix.
Yeah.
You know, it's really what we know about the brain is that what underpins a new habit and a new way of life is an entirely new network in the brain, and there's a biological limit to how fast we can grow that network. You know, it just isn't going to happen in a day or a weekend. And so I think you got to have the right time horizon here, and have fun along the way, and be more of an experimenter and a curious adventurer, trying things, seeing what works, you know, sifting through different possibilities, and giving yourself enough time, and then giving yourself the structure to stay on track, so that when you get to the end of the year and you're about to set the next year New Year's resolutions, you say, oh, I got that one in the bag.
Right.
There you go. And you know what? It's funny. I was listening to a couple shows that everybody started New Year's resolutions and nobody kept with them. So I want to start break it down to 12 months. Maybe this month, this is what I'm going to handle. Or this week, this is what I'm going to handle. I mean, there's so many opportunities to break it down instead of overwhelming yourself with a whole year of stuff. So I love your book. I can't wait to read it. It's you Organize Your Mind, Organize Your Life, Train Your Brain to Get More Done in Less Time. Paul Hamaris and Margaret Moore. And I'd love to have you back and talk a little further.
Thank you so much, Natalie. We really appreciate it.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. All right. With that, thank you. You are listening to The Kim Pagano Show. We're going to take a really quick break. When we come back, we'll actually have our Tuesday trivia. So get your phone numbers ready right now, 805-639-0008, and stay with us.
Oh, honey, what's wrong?
I just finished meeting with the realtor, and she says we can't sell Dad's house without a court order.
What do you mean?
The realtor said we had to have a probate. It can take more than a year to complete and cost more than $20,000.
What are we going to do?
I'm attorney David R. Schneider, and this kind of problem plays out every day for families of Ventura County who did not plan accordingly. A probate proceeding can cost families thousands of dollars in wasted costs and attorney's fees, leave families feeling helpless. Let me show you how I can save your family thousands with a comprehensive estate plan using a revocable living trust. Call me at the law offices of David R. Schneider, 374-8777. Listeners of The Kim Pagano Show receive a free one-hour, no-obligation consultation, a $275 value. Give us a call at 374-8777 and say you heard about us from The Kim Pagano Show. Let us help. Call 374-8777. That's 374-8777.
Grow your business with Ventura's only hometown newspaper, the Ventura Breeze, by reaching our highly targeted audience at affordable prices. Your ad will be read by thousands of local residents, business owners, and visitors. Our affordable rates start at just over $33 an issue, giving you an exceptional return for your advertising dollars. To be included in the next issue of the Ventura Breeze, contact us at advertising@venturabreeze.com.
This is The Kim Pagano Show on AM 1400 KKZZ. Are you a fan of Kim on Facebook yet? If not, it's extremely easy. Simply go to facebook.com/The Kim Pagano Show and press the like button. You can find all about what's coming up on upcoming shows as well as be entered in special contests to win monthly prizes. It's all for free on Facebook. At facebook.com/The Kim Pagano Show. And now, once again, here's Kim.
Listen, baby, ain't no mountain high, ain't no valley low, ain't no river wide enough.
I love this. All right. Welcome back, everyone. You are listening to The Kim Pagano Show, and we have an opportunity to, this week is our last week of the holiday ice rink over at the lakes, and we're going to be giving away whoever gets this trivia for today. We've got Rob Blaze on the line. Rob, are you there?
Hey, Kim. Good morning. I'm here.
I'm good. How are you doing?
Great.
All right.
Another beautiful day here in Southern California.
Yeah, it's a little cold out, huh?
Yes. Yeah, the winter's finally, I guess, adjusting itself here.
There you go. So what a perfect week to soak up and take in this last little bit of holiday. So,
and I didn't know it was still going on. Usually it ends a little earlier, so this is kind of nice.
One more week. So anyways, what is our question? And Rob is from Coffee News, so you definitely have to grab one of our Coffee News newspapers. They're everywhere, and if they're not, ask them how to get it.
Right.
All right. So
as a matter of fact, I was actually out ice skating at the lakes yesterday with my son.
Oh, you were.
Beautiful day. Yeah, and it was he had a blast. He's 5 years old, and he's already skating around like a champ.
And, you know, this is a very romantic thing to do. Inexpensive romantic thing to do if you're, you know, just trying to find something. It's a cute little shopping center, and
yeah, they've got great restaurants over there. I'm gonna not tell you one of my favorites are right there, but yeah, but there is a lot of good restaurants right there, so definitely you can go have a, you know, a nice little dinner and then go, or vice versa, go skating and then warm up to a nice little dinner. So what is our question?
Okay, so today's question is, what causes the most forest fires in the western United States?
Ooh, I know what that is.
I do,
but
too. Perfect question. Very good. And that's scary, actually, you know. So our phone number here is 805-639-0008. And we will take the first caller that knows that answer. All right, Rob, anything else going on around, you know, coffee news?
Well, we've always got some good stories. In the next issue of Coffee News, you can learn about a dog-friendly church service in the Los Angeles area.
I love it. You get to bring your animals.
An English woman who called 911 about her missing snowman. There's a German man in hot water for shipping tarantulas into the United States. And a beaver was determined to be the arsonist behind a recent Ontario, Canada fire. So there's those stories and much, much more to entertain you in every issue of Coffee News.
All right. Sounds really good. Well, I think we actually have a winner on the line. Matt's getting all the info. So I definitely want to thank all of our callers. And actually,
is he going to say? Are they going to say what?
Well, yeah, we're going to bring him on.
Okay.
So stay with us, Rob.
Great.
Okay. Okay. And I, you know, just for anybody that's just tuning in right now, this is the Kim Pagano Show. We actually do this every Tuesday. So definitely, you know that's a day. But not only that, you know, pretty much every day we're giving something away. We're giving back. For just, you know, I love to give back, to get to know my listeners. And, of course, also on Fun Friday, we have something also. We have Giovanni coming in. So we always have something good. So, Matt, who do we have?
Angela Knight.
Hi, hi, Angela. How are you?
I'm really good. How are you?
Great. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Thousand Oaks.
Perfect. And is this your first time listening?
No, it's not my first time listening. It's my first time calling in.
Oh,
oh cool.
I'm so excited that you did that. All right. And so what is the answer?
I am going to go with the answer of the Santa Ana winds, the winds.
No, no, it's not. So, okay, so what we'll do...
Although that is true right here, but they said yeah, the Western United States. That's the...
Yeah, so what the question is again, can you repeat that, Rob? Did we lose Rob? Oh, okay, so what is the...
What causes the most forest fires?
Forest fires.
In the Western United States.
Yes.
I would have to say... people.
Okay. Thank you so much. Keep trying. Okay. And
have a great day.
Okay. And thanks so much for listening. All right. We have another caller. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Yes. Who am I speaking with?
My name is Celia.
Celia. Where are you calling from?
Santa Paula.
Okay. And is this your first time listening?
No, it's not. Actually, I listen to that station every morning at work.
Oh, I love it. Thank you so much. Okay, so do you have a right answer for us?
I think it's lightning.
You are right. You are right. All right. Perfect. Woohoo. So,
you know, I'm not sure. He
I never win anything.
He put Western, you won today. Today's your lucky day.
He put Western United States, but I really think that's throughout the country.
I do, too. Definitely.
I kind of had a feeling, too.
Yeah. Oh, good. I'm so excited for you. And
lightning scares me to death. I almost sometimes hide in a closet.
You know, I never knew how serious it was till we go to the South every summer, and their lightning storms. My mother-in-law, who's Southern, she said, "Don't touch any appliances. Don't." And I'm like, "You're kidding." She said, "No, it can come through the phone lines and the appliances."
I had a phone that I had to throw out of my hands during a lightning storm once, and I was a little kid in upstate New York. Our swing set got hit by lightning and it fried it.
Oh, no wonder you're afraid.
Well, and it can, you know, if you're standing by a window and you're touching the window, it can hit the glass and...
Break it?
Yeah, it can electrocute you. So you have to stay away from the windows, and I never knew that. And
don't go golfing in the lightning.
Oh, yeah, don't have an umbrella in the lightning storm.
See, no, I was brought up with my mom telling me that was just God changing our furniture around.
Well, I know, that's what my kids that
really?
Too. It's God talking to us. But,
yeah, so.
But at the same time.
I told it was God bowling.
Oh, yeah. There you go. All right. Well, it's so nice to hear you and talk to you. And does Matt have all stay on so he can get all your info? And please keep calling back. I love it.
Oh, thank you.
All right.
I love listening to you guys.
Thank you so much. And share us with everyone.
Okay.
Okay, great. Thanks so much. All right. Well, we had a couple you know, we got a winner, so that's awesome. So,
although I do think people cause a lot of fires.
Yeah, I think, you know, well, look at that one kid that there was all those cars that were being caught on fire.
That wasn't a kid.
Well,
he's an adult.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. But, I mean, what are you thinking? You know, I don't understand that. I mean, that's just crazy. So I know that, you know, hold on. I wanted to talk about a couple things here. Three steps to actually make resolution stick. You know, and we've been talking about this now, so what we're almost into, you know, good part of the year now. I mean, of the first month, right?
I was going to say, it's only been a week and a half. Well, Kim, it's okay, not going that fast.
Yeah, no, but I do want to start off with is decide what behavior you want to change or goal you want to achieve.
Right.
So, you know, a lot of us, you have to decide what who you want to be. I mean, you know, you can't just start. And
well, I decided my New Year's resolution is to be mindful.
That's good.
To be mindful of, well, first I said to my husband, I want to be mindful of spending and not buy things I don't actually need. But then, of course, he jumped all over that. You know, like, okay, so then we need to have a bunch of blah, blah, blah. And I said, yeah, well, hold on.
Yeah.
Yes, we do. But my resolution actually is just to be mindful about it.
There you go.
And because if you set too big of a resolution and get too aggressive about things, then it goes by the wayside sometimes.
Right. So this one actually says, carefully craft a statement about one or two benefits that will come as a result of changing the behavior or achieving this goal. So how will your life be enriched or improved if you change the behavior or achieve this year? So that's good. So you have to kind of look at almost like setting a goal, setting the pros, the cons, if you do this, you know. So I was telling Marcia in the break here that my New Year's goal, which I don't really set one, but what I'm going to do is I'm trying to simplify my life. And so what I want to do is I went into my bedroom and thought, anything that I'm not using or that is cluttering my room. So it got all the way out to the family room.
I know, isn't
you
it?
You know, so, but I got to get it out of my house. So
right, or just, then it ends up in that, you know, garage, black hole garage.
Somewhere. What is that about?
I don't know.
You know, and it's funny, in Europe, people don't even have garages.
I know.
They have to pay dear money for it. And here, we like stuff all our trash in there. Go figure.
Well, they also don't have a lot of trash.
No, that's what I'm saying.
You know,
people
complain sometimes about taking reusable bags to the grocery store, but I was in Europe 4 years ago. They don't even give you a bag, and they look like at you like you're totally insane if you
ask
for one, and you have to pay for them.
I heard somebody the other day, because now they're charging.
They should.
For $1 a bag, right?
Well, they said a dime. It's usually
a dime. I don't know. Yeah, but people were having a hard time with it. But, God, just keep your bags. It's like one step in the right direction.
Well, and the funny thing is I keep putting, like, reusable bags in my husband's car, and he's like, I never remember them. I said, you know what got me to remember them? What I started doing is if I didn't remember them, but they were in the car.
You
and
went
I
out
usually,
and got them?
No, I just have them put the stuff back in the cart. And then when I get to the car, I put it in bags.
Oh, that's a great
idea. And it takes me longer. So if I'm in a hurry, you know, my mind goes, okay, I don't want to do that. I take my bags
that's
in.
That's a great idea. Well, I'm so excited. We actually have our next guest on, and we're going to be talking to Michael. Is it Addis? Addis? Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay, great. And Invisible Men.
So I love this subject.
Yes. I know we're going to get a lot of callers on this because so many of our men keep their feelings inside. And I guess that's something that we're going to be talking about. So I'm excited to hear about. So welcome.
Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about yourself. And are you one of those men that keep it all inside?
Well, you'd have to ask the people that know and love me about that.
Okay. What's their number? No.
Probably a little bit more open than your average guy. So my background is I'm a professor of psychology at Clark University, and I wrote a book that was recently published called Invisible Men, Men's Inner Lives and the Consequences of Silence. And it's a book about what happens to us as a society when we stop listening to and seeing the reality of emotional pain in men's lives. There's evidence of it all around us, but we simply don't talk about it very much, and as a result, it leaks out in ways that are ultimately pretty self-destructive, like suicide and anger and substance abuse and so on.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. I have a brother who committed suicide. And
sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And he had many, many years of drug abuse. And his main problem, and he was a very aware person, but his main problem was he couldn't get it out. Whatever you know, in a healthy way.
You know, it's really interesting. We had somebody on our line yesterday, and they were talking about addicts and how so many of them are so sensitive.
Yeah, and he always said really felt that he felt things much deeper than other people.
And I really, when she said that yesterday, that resonated with me so much that I thought, oh my God, they're hurting so much more. What I call one of my sons a duck. He just lets everything just roll right off his back, but not everybody can do that.
And does he really?
Well, yeah, it's interesting that you talk about ducks, because I begin one of the chapters of my book saying that for a lot of men, they look like ducks on a pond.
That's...
In other words, everything on the surface looks smooth and like water's rolling off your back, but underneath, they're paddling furiously.
Yeah.
I've seen this a lot
in the men that have come through our research studies and in my own personal life, that it's very easy for a lot of guys to look like everything's cool, everything's fine, you know, I can't complain. But if you dig a little bit, you find out that they have significant stress going on, or loss or grief or any number of issues.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we just still look at it as a sort of unmanly thing to do to acknowledge this openly.
I agree. I mean, you know, men aren't supposed to cry. But to me, as a woman, I think that's so, it's emotional. I want somebody to be real. I don't want them to be this hard person. It's, you know, it's kind of an emotional relationship.
Well, don't you think with men, it's also their expectations of what a man is to themselves, you know, they hold it in because they think that's what a man is supposed to do.
Or what they've been taught by their parents, or what their father said, hey, you're a man.
Suck it up.
Exactly. So, you know, I just want to open up our phone lines here at 805-639-0008. We're talking to Michael Addis, and his book is Invisible Men, Men's Inner Lives, and the Consequences of Silence. So, what should we be, you know, if there's all these men out there listening, what should we tell them? It's okay? What have you learned?
Well, it's definitely okay. The emotions are universal. They're human. And men need to begin to accept their emotions in themselves, and also not look at it as a feminine thing. You know, the bottom line is that men and women are not really that different from each other, but we're encouraged strongly by society to be different, particularly men. You know, there's nothing worse you can tell a boy than that he's in some way feminine. Either he's sissy or he's queer or something like that. And for most men, we never really get over that. We live our lives to some degree restricting ourselves from our true potential out of this fear and discomfort around anything that we consider even remotely feminine.
Wow. So what do your studies come from? Do you interview people, or how have you found this out?
Well, yeah, we do. We interview men who have been through significant events in their lives, like divorce or illness or loss of a loved one.
And or in this economy, loss of a job.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's
another. A dog is a man's best friend, right? I mean, any sort of loss can be difficult for men, particularly when we don't have the sort of social support to process it and share how we feel about it.
Yeah, I think you thought I said a dog, but I said job.
Yeah, what about, a lot of lost jobs, but both really, you know, yeah.
Yeah, it's both. Yeah, the economic times are very difficult for men. I mean, it strikes right to our sense of identity of being a provider, and we've seen a lot of men through our studies in the past couple of years, because, of course, the economy is affecting us all.
Yeah, and I think men value themselves by what they earn and what their title is, and I think it's a lot harder for men to change. Like if they lose their job and they were one position, I was reading this article how women can morph into a different thing much easier than men because they, you know,
because we multitask.
They kind of introduce themselves as, I am so-and-so, and I do so-and-so.
I'm mother of four, I'm a hair therapist, I have a radio show.
No, I'm talking about men.
No,
have one.
Right, but women
title.
Can morph themselves into, right?
Yeah, women have more than one title usually. Men kind of start with one title and have a harder time changing that.
So what suggestions can you make for my listeners out there on how to either handle if they're in a relationship or if they are, you know, the man out there that's feeling invisible.
Right. Well, there's a number of things in Invisible Men that I talk about. Let's say that, for example, that women can do for men that they love. One is to work hard to give up the idea that you can control him, you know, that you're going to somehow turn him into a more open human being. No one can be coerced into being more open about their emotional life. They have to make that decision themselves. At the same time, there are things you can do to make it more likely to happen. For example, women can work to stop the anger at men for not being more emotionally available. Lots of women I've spoken with feel frustrated, understandably, when men don't share, but what they do with that frustration is blame him, and that prevents them from actually seeing what is a real emotional thing, which is, hey, you know, it's not easy to talk about myself. It's not easy to be vulnerable when I haven't grown up with models of that, you know, in my family or amongst my friends. And then the last thing I suggest for women to talk about quite a bit is to leave mom out of the equation. In other words, resist your temptation to nurture or mother men too much.
I think that's
because
a big one,
because
yeah.
As we pull for this, we hate it too.
Right.
And we get deeply ambivalent about it and send you all kinds of mixed messages. So it's better to just not even go down that road.
Right. Now, you know, I think that another thing that a lot of women, and I'm going to say because I just have noticed myself, is talking and telling your husband what a great job they're doing as a father, as a husband, as, you know, as a provider. And I think everybody needs that pat on the back. And so I think so many of us are angry instead of looking at it as their gratitude, because, you know, it's always like as soon as you lose your husband or you don't have him in your life, then you wish you did. I mean, you know, so it's kind of like sometimes you can turn a situation around and actually work from a positive end of it.
Absolutely. I mean, there are many things that men do, you know, traditionally, like, you know, keeping a stiff upper lip, being the calm one, solving problems, analyzing situations, that are very helpful to relationships and to families, and it's great to be appreciated for that. At the same time, if that's the only tool you've got in your toolbox, then you're going to be stressed more. You know, so what I'm advocating for men is to become more flexible. And if strong and silent is your game 9 times out of 10, maybe you need to add something else, you know, as just like one tries to diversify your investments. You know, you don't want all your eggs in one basket.
So how do you begin that? If you're the type that holds everything in, how do you start taking the steps to opening up?
And what are they?
Yeah, well, the first is raising your awareness that you are that kind of person. You know, so many guys take it for granted that this is the only way to be. So some honest self-assessment about, how much is this affecting my life? How open am I? Who knows what's going on in my life? Does anyone? That's the first step. And the second then is to take some calculated risks. You know, one of the things that was very powerful in my life when I started this work was I made a pact with myself that for a period of time, I was going to, whenever anyone asked me how it was going, you know, how's it going, dude, that I would actually take 2 seconds and answer that honestly for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then try and tell them, you know, in a manageable way, how it actually was going.
And you have to be a little bit more careful with that, because some people really don't care. And then,
that's right.
You know,
that
so
is,
you
yeah.
want to answer the people that you know actually care about
and
you.
And honor you.
And honor you, yeah.
Yeah, you know,
well,
I
that's
just...
exactly right. And that's useful information. One of the things I learned was that the people that really don't want the answer to that, after a while, I realized I don't really want to be around them so much.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that. Very cool.
You need to dump.
Yeah, yeah, you definitely want to have a team around you.
The other thing that happens when you do share, and this is what women find out, and I hope men can work this, is when you do share, you find out how many people feel the same way.
Oh, yeah. That you're not alone.
That you're not alone. And that is part of the problem with people that hold things in, is that they have a spiral of feeling alone. And, you know, that's when it gets dangerous.
That is, you're absolutely right. Now, what can we offer for boys, you know, when they're growing up and they feel, you know, like they're keeping everything in?
Or parents to help their sons.
Yeah, or exactly.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
and I just want to remind
parents.
Can I just go ahead? I just
don't worry about turning your son into a man. Society will take care of that.
Oh, that's a great
parents
one.
Are the place. Parents are the people who can keep their son's emotional lives real and alive. Parents are the people you should be able to come to, even when you have to hold up that false front in front of your friends or at school. So open channels of communication, and also educating boys about these issues. You know, I talk to young boys on a regular basis about issues of silence and invisibility and what a challenge it's going to be for them to have their real selves seen, but what the real payoffs are. So I believe opening that conversation with boys is very valuable.
Wow, I love that. That is, like, incredible advice, because that's your safe zone.
Well, and I think if fathers model that, if they come home and don't always look like they're always put together and come home and say, God, I've just really had a terrible day, and, you know, let that out around their children, then their kids realize that you don't always have to have it together 24 hours a day.
Right. I think
exactly.
That's...
And home should be a safe place for you.
Right. And
yeah, that's right. I have a 10-year-old girl, and I remember a couple of months ago she asked me, you know, how's it going, Daddy? And I'm sure I gave her a can't complain or it's fine. And she looked at me and said, are you sure you don't look all right? Sort of looked at her and said, yeah, you know, actually today kind of sucked.
Yeah.
It really
yeah.
wasn't that great a day. And she actually told me, now, mind you, she's the daughter of a psychologist.
Right.
But she said, you know, I like seeing you and hearing what's going on. You know,
aww.
It makes you more real.
Yeah.
And I just think about how many of such potential conversations are missed between parents and children.
Well, not only that, that also, if you're a father of daughters, it is really important for your daughters not to think you are the knight in shining armor all the time.
That's a great point.
Because then when they go out to find a man...
That they think is supposed to be perfect.
That's supposed to be just like their father, who never complained, never had anything wrong, and was always perfect. They won't find him.
You're absolutely right. And that we all have faults. That we
right.
all have ups and downs, because this isn't how it was at home, right?
Yeah, and you want a daughter. I have two sons and a daughter, and I want my daughter to find somebody that can emotionally connect with her, not somebody that she's just looking up to all the time.
Great point. Mm-hmm. Great point. If anybody's just tuning in right now, you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show. We're actually at the end of our show almost again, but you do have one part in your book is how to use this book. And we're talking about invisible men, men's inner lives, and the consequences of silence. So how do you use your book?
Well, it can be used in a number of ways. I wrote it as a consciousness-raising book, you know, so it's in some ways an idea book that helped people see men's invisibility in their own lives and in society. And it also has some instructions and exercises for people to get a sense of how much men's hidden emotional lives is affecting their own life, both men and women. So it's written for both males and females, and I have also known couples that have used it together to read together and actually consider how much is this an issue in our relationship. There's a whole chapter in there on relationships and how this issue affects interactions between men and women.
So, Michael, we're at the end of our show, but I would love you to add, what is one exercise or one thing that you could help my listeners take stance on trying to, you know, get their husbands or get themselves to kind of bring their feelings to out?
Well, I would suggest for your female listeners to trust their instincts, and if they have a sense that there's an unhappy man in their life, to address it by talking with him openly and honestly in a non-blaming, you know, non-accusatory kind of way. And I would suggest for men that they take responsibility for their own emotional lives, not by handling everything on your own, but by considering whether actually opening up can make you a stronger person. Because I suspect that most men who do try that, if they stick with it, they will find that they are actually much more successful men when they do this.
And that maybe their needs will actually start being met, right? Because,
that's right.
Yeah. So I love it. Where do we find your book?
Books widely available on the internet from any bookseller like Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble. People can also check out our research on the web at www.clarku.edu.
Okay, great.
And this is Michael Addis. It's A-D-D-I-S.
That's right. And
right,
I'd love to have you back again to talk further. I think this is, you know, just a universal topic, and I think that there's so many men out there that are unheard.
And your book is Invisible Men, Men's Inner Lives, and the Consequences of Silence.
Right. So thank you so much, Michael.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. All right. Well, gosh, that went by fast again. And I just want to thank all of you for listening to the Kim Pagano Show. Marcia, thank you so much.
You're welcome. I'm always amazed at how sometimes I come in. I'm only here once a week and how pertinent it is to what's going on.
It just fits in our lives, and I love that. So, again, if there's something that you want to talk about that could help your lives or you know somebody that is struggling with something, send me an email so that I can find the right person to get on my show to talk about it. And you can send it at kim@kimpaganoshow.com. Of course, again, if you missed any part of our show today, you can listen again from 1 to 2. You can also record it on TuneIn Radio. And actually, I download all my shows on my website. So definitely check that out, kimpaganoshow.com. With that, of course, I end all of my shows with a mommy moment. And today's is, oops, I just lost it there. Your reputation is what men and women think of you. Your character is what your heavenly father and the angels know of you. So with that, you know, what's in your heart is really who you are. So make the best of what you know, who you want to be, and live true to who you are, not what everybody else expects you to be. So with that, thanks, Matt, for on the board. Thanks to all my listeners, and congratulations to my winner. And with that, have a wonderful day. Go do something great for yourself, and just make an inch more towards where you're going in life. So with that, you've been listening to The Kim Pagano Show. I'm Kim, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Pretty woman, walking down the street. Pretty woman, the kind I like to meet. Pretty woman, I don't believe you. You're not the truth. No one could look as good as you. Mercy. Pretty woman.